Go ahead and sit down. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. First of all, do you see your sin, failure, need, desperation named in a similar way that these courageous ladies named theirs? Or do you just see your sins as respectable, tolerable, acceptable? Secondly, are you willing that other people might know your sin and your failure so that you might be healed? So it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. And then thirdly, when you see Jesus work in your life, do you hear His applause and the applause of the angels glorifying God in the power of His grace the way that we just experienced that in this place? Whether you're a lesbian or a homosexual or a drug addict or a convict or an abuser, there is hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is a shepherd in the heavens that came to die and give His life for the sheep. And we have the privilege of learning more about that shepherd this morning. Fourth Sunday of Lent, in the lectionary, the liturgical calendar, it actually counsels us to study Psalm 23 this week. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Perhaps no psalm is more widely read than this particular psalm. Perhaps no passage in all of Scripture is more recognizable than this passage. Perhaps no portion of Scripture offers more hope, more comfort, more security than this passage of Scripture. But to really understand the 23rd Psalm, you need to know something about sheep. And what you need to understand is this: sheep freak. Sheep panic constantly. And the Bible refers to people as sheep a lot. And the more you understand about sheep, the less excited you're going to be that God chooses to compare us to sheep. It's not a flattering comparison. You see, sheep aren't necessarily the sharpest tools in the shed. Their antenna aren't picking up all the frequencies. Now, it's not that they're stupid. It's just that because of their insecurity and fear, their herding and flocking instinct overrides all of their other instincts, and they do stupid things. For instance, in 2006 in eastern Turkey, just because one sheep tried to cross, or jump, I should say, a cavern 50 feet deep and plunged to its death, all the 400 sheep in the entire flock did the same thing. That's how foolish sheep can be. Sounds stupid? Is it any less foolish than a nation called Germany following a man named Hitler? Is it any less foolish when our teens follow the crowd and get involved in drugs, sex, alcohol? And how many times have we, even as, quote, adults, blindly followed the crowd because of our own insecurities? Sheep freak! And they require more care and more attention than almost any other creature God has made. That's why Jesus emphasized in Matthew 9, he saw the people distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. If there are sheep without a shepherd, they are in big trouble. And if the sheep have a poor shepherd, they are also in trouble. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And if you're a Christian, that's great news. Because just like sheep, we too often freak. And as we read the passage this morning, I want you to think of an area of your life that you're tempted to freak out about right now. And I want you to see God as your shepherd meeting you in that particular area. Let's all stand out of reverence for the Word of God. Follow along as I read this classic passage, Psalm 23. This is the Word of God, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the hearing and teaching of His inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative Word. Let's pray. Father, we're so familiar with these words. We ask that they would penetrate from our minds to our hearts, and that it would go from understanding to real faith. Come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes, unblock our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We're in the middle of Lent. It's the fourth Sunday of Lent. If you're here last week, I gave us an acronym to help us remember what our focus needs to be during Lent. L-E-N-T. Let everyone now turn. Lent is a period of preparation for renewal as we celebrate the resurrection. We've talked about turning to Jesus in repentance as we've asked Him to search our hearts. But let everyone now turn also means we turn to Jesus in fresh faith. We turn to Jesus in fresh love. We turn to Jesus in fresh commitment. Now, what's going to enable us to do that? Well, in 1 John 4, verse 19, we learn that we love Him because He first loved us. The more we comprehend of the love of God, the more our hearts are going to be inflamed with a love for Him. We're going to experience renewal and we'll move out in new obedience. That's what Psalm 23 does. It presents the love, care, protection, and provision of our God as a good shepherd. And as we see that and as we believe it, it develops a fresh love in our hearts for Him. Now, we live in a technological, internet-oriented culture. We know very little about agrarian society. We know very little about tending sheep. We know nothing about what it means to be a shepherd. So for this study, I read a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. He himself was a shepherd, and that's important because David was a shepherd. When Samuel came to anoint the next king after Saul was rejected, David was out tending the sheep. And he was the one that was going to be anointed as king. The king of Israel is a shepherd. And that's true still. Because Jesus is a shepherd and He is our king. And if we're to understand this psalm, we need to understand sheep. And if we're to understand this psalm, we need to understand what it is to be a shepherd. Eight characteristics this morning of the good heart of a shepherd that enables us to turn in fresh faith and renewal in our Christian lives. This past week, I posted on Facebook, the single most important question of your life as a Christian is this. Do you believe God's heart toward you is good? Secondly, do you believe His ways that He has you in are good? Psalm 23 answers those questions in the affirmative. Buckle your chin strap. Buckle your seatbelt. We got to go through 8 points in 20 minutes. It's going to be like rocket fast. Number one, turn to Jesus for peace in times of anxiety. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Folks, sheep freak because they have no form of self-defense. Think about all the other animals that God has made. They have sharp teeth. They have strong jaws. They have piercing claws. They're able to run fast. They're able to go into holes. They're able to blend in with the environment. Sheep have none of those things. They are defenseless. And they will not lie down anywhere unless they're free from fear and insecurity. In the Hebrew, the tense of the verb in verse 2 is intensive. It means that God forces to lie us down. He makes us to lie down. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. Now, a shepherd, in order to get a sheep to lie down that is just filled with anxiety, often has to pick up that sheep and lay it gently down on its side and press gently down on its shoulders so it can't get up. And it begins speaking tenderly, quietly, calmly to the sheep until the sheep finally begins to relax and lays down in green, safe pastures. David learned how to do this as a shepherd. And then he began to see himself as a lamb, as he began to realize that God did that to him. See, Psalm 23 wasn't written in the calm peace of prosperity. Psalm 23 was written perhaps in the context of David fleeing from Saul, who wanted to take his life. Psalm 23, some scholars say, was written in the context of when David's own son, Absalom, was taking the throne from his own father and also seeking his life. David lived with great fear and anxiety. And how could he fall down in sleep when his life was in danger? You know, there's things in my life that I lose sleep over. There's things in my life that, try as I might, I cannot calm myself. I cannot argue myself to a place of peace. And in those times, the Father comes, lays His hands on me, speaks tenderly to me, and the promise is He will make me, He will cause me to lie down in peace. What are you facing? Financial struggles? Internal worries? Problems with your children? Marital issues? Occupational hazards? God is a shepherd who promises to come to you and to make you lie down. It's not your great faith, but His great power that causes you to lie down in peace. Our shepherd knows our anxieties. He knows what makes us freak. And He comes to us in power to make us lie down. Isaiah 17:2, the flocks will lie down with no one to make them afraid. That's God's desire for you. Secondly, turn to Jesus for provision in times of need. Verse 2, He leads me beside still waters. Just like any of God's creatures, including us, sheep need large amounts of water for strength and vitality. The problem is, sheep won't drink from the best pools of water. Again, normally because they're afraid. The best pools of water come from flowing, rushing streams, and they splash and they make noise, and sheep are so insecure, they want none of that. And so they'll bypass the good water and they'll settle for mud puddles that are stagnant, filthy, filled with parasites, mosquitoes. And it's up to the shepherd to either dam up a safe place in clean, rushing, flowing streams. It is the shepherd's goodness that causes the sheep to drink from good, clean water. Sheep are lazy. They want a life of ease. They'll choose that which is comfortable. Now, I know we as people never do that, but sheep do. And they'll settle for dirt. They'll settle for things that will actually sap them from strength and vitality rather than go after that cool, crisp, flowing water. We're just like the sheep. Jeremiah 2:13, God says, "You've rejected me and you make for yourselves broken jars of water that actually hold no water at all, that leave you more thirsty than when you sought out those jars to begin with." Because of fear, because of insecurity, because of laziness, because of our desire for comfort and ease, we will settle for dirty pools of water. But a good shepherd won't allow his sheep to drink from those pools. It's not our great brilliance that finds great watering holes. It's God's great pity that brings us to those places. Isaiah 49:10, "He has pity on them and will guide them to springs of living water." And we must go to Jesus, who said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me, and out of his innermost being will flow streams of living water." Thirdly, turn to Jesus for relief in times of vulnerability. Verse 3, "He restores my soul." This verb emphasizes the intensity of intentionality with which God shepherds us. God desires to restore us to the people He created us to be and recreated us to be and become in Christ. He's committed to restoring us whenever we fall. Now, sheep are awkward animals. Sheep are roly-poly. When a sheep gets on its back, it can't turn itself over. It simply flails its legs wildly in attempt to roll. But it's so round, it can't right itself. It's very vulnerable to predators. Anything can come along and drag it away. It's even vulnerable to the heat of the sun. If a sheep is on its back and doesn't right itself and can't right itself, it will bake to death in a matter of hours. You see, it's the constant watching and scanning of the shepherd who loves the sheep and is faithful to the sheep that notices when a sheep is missing or on its back. And the shepherd goes and searches for it and restores it. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, "The eyes of the Lord scan the earth, moving to and fro to strongly support, to right, to put on our feet those whose hearts are fully His." Ah, but Bob, it says right there, those whose hearts are fully His. If it's by our own stupidity and sin and failure we're on our back, then it's up to us to right ourselves. You know how many times I think that way? That if the world knocks me around or the evil one knocks me around, well, then I can expect that God in His grace will be present to turn me over and put me on my feet. But how many times I despair when I recognize it's because of my own sin, my own stupidity, that I'm flailing on my back. And I've got to figure out some way, somehow, to rig some kind of contraption to pull myself up and put myself on my feet. Folks, that's not what the psalm teaches. The psalm teaches that whether it's the world, whether it's the devil, or whether it's your own stupidity, God is a God who restores His people and puts them on their feet. That's what David experienced. Did David do anything more stupid than commit adultery with Bathsheba. And yet in Psalm 51, David says that God restored his soul. I just went out to Bibb County Prison and was able to speak to some men out there. Guys who have failed. Guys who are flat on their back by their own foolishness, by their own failure. Guys that would face the same questions of despair. Is God really there for me? Will He really restore me? Folks, if God won't restore those men there, then we have no hope of God restoring us here. And the good news is whether it's our own stupidity and irresponsibility and sin, or whether it's not even our fault, God is a shepherd who restores us. It's not our wisdom, it's not our goodness, it's not our deservedness, it's God's grace that causes Him to restore us. Number four, turn to Jesus for guidance in times of confusion. Look at verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Folks, not only is God's shepherd heart towards you good, but all of His plans for you are good as well. All of His purposes are good for you as well. And sometimes that is a more difficult thing to believe. You know, sheep have vision problems. They can see pretty well, but they have depth perception problems. They have a real hard time with details. They're not really sure where to step because of depth problems. It's like sheep live in a house of mirrors and things are distorted. And that just accentuates and emphasizes and increases their fear and insecurity. And because of the fall and our brokenness, we live like we're in a house of mirrors as well. And because of our poor perception, we have a tendency to go down wrong paths, just like sheep. Or even if a shepherd's trying to lead us down the right path, we see things moving that scare us, and we're hesitant to take the path that God wants us to go down. Not only that, but there are a million faulty billboards all around us telling us that they know the direction we should go. And 100,000 wrong opinions pointing us in the wrong direction as well. Sheep have poor depth perception, and they might follow any path they happen upon. They might follow a path that was actually made by a predator. They might follow a path that was created by thieves. But a good shepherd strategizes and with great intentionality develops a plan that leads the sheep to the best places. And he does it for his own name's sake. See, shepherds were able to gain a reputation very quickly of being good shepherds or poor shepherds. All you had to do was look at the condition of the flock. You know, another problem is sheep are creatures of habit, and they would refuse to move along the right path. They would overgraze in the same place. It would burn out the field, and people could tell whether a shepherd was good or poor based on whether the sheep had green grass. Also, if the sheep didn't move along, there was a multiplication of parasites, and their coats became mangy. And you could tell whether the shepherd was good or poor based on the condition of the flock. You know, another thing about sheep is they lack any homing device. They couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. You know, if the incredible journey included a dog, a cat, and a sheep, there would not be a very happy ending. They'd never find their way home. We're like that too. Constantly losing our way, but God promises to shepherd us back home. And it's not our responsiveness, but God's faithfulness for His glory that is our hope. Number five, turn to Jesus for courage in times of darkness. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. The valley of the shadow of death are places of incredible adversity and danger, sometimes even the threat of death. Places we must sometimes travel. because there's no clean water and there's no green grass. But among the valleys where the water has carved through the rock, there are rivers. Now, one of the dangers is there could be a storm. There could be a flash flood that could wipe out the flock. It's also a problem because in the valley, there's not enough room for lots of shepherds and lots of flocks. And so the sheep are there all by themselves, completely dependent upon the character of the shepherd. Sometimes there's rock slides because the land around the riverbed is so moist. There's great dangers. Notice the change of perspective in this verse. Up to now, the third person has been used. He. But now, when we talk about the shepherd, the second person is used. You. It's the common experience of Christians when you go through valleys that you experience the presence and intimacy of God as no other time. See, sometimes God takes us into the isolation of the valley of death because, frankly, we can depend too much on people. Sometimes we'll go to books and counselors before we go to Jesus as shepherd. And there are times when God calls us to depend only upon Him. And it's usually in those dark times when we see what kind of a shepherd He is. As David had to flee from Saul, he was isolated. He was all alone most of the time, except for God. Remember that poem, Footprints? The guy looked over his life and he realized that Jesus promised to be walk with him all through life. And he saw two sets of footprints. But then at certain times of his life, he saw just one set of footprints. And he was really confused because those were the times that were the hardest and the lowest in his life. And he said, Jesus, you promised to be with me all the time. But at the hardest times of my life, in my valleys, there's only one set. Why did you leave me? And Jesus, I didn't leave you. It was at those times I carried you. Now, folks, that's not sentimentality. That is true. It is profoundly true. When we go through the valley of the shadow of death, God is there to carry us. Deuteronomy 1:31, we read that God carried His people as a father carries his son and as a shepherd carries his sheep. Number 6, turn to Jesus for comfort in times of trouble. Look at verse 4. Two pieces of basic equipment that a shepherd had at his disposal. A rod and a staff to comfort the sheep. First of all, a rod was a weapon of defense. It would strike predators that came toward the sheep. You could even use, if you were a skilled shepherd, a staff as a javelin to throw 40, 50, 60 yards at an animal to keep it away from the sheep. David did this as a shepherd. He talks about before he went to fight Goliath that because he was a shepherd, there were times when a bear or a lion left with a lamb in its jaws, and David had to strike the bear and the lion. And David said, God delivered the lamb. In the same way, we have predators after us, evils pursuing us. And yet we have God with His staff ready to strike down our enemies. The rod was also used to count the sheep. The rod was also used in order to pull back the wool and see if there's any wounds or parasites. By the way, this is where we get the saying, you can't pull the wool over my eyes. We can't pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows our condition. He knows our wounds. He's aware of our health. He's constantly checking us and doing whatever is necessary to cause us to grow in health. Matter of fact, a shepherd will even use his rod to break the leg of a sheep who's constantly wandering away, so that it would have to be with the shepherd all the time and learn to stay near. The staff is what we think of when we think of the crook, the traditional thing that a shepherd has that has this little hook at the end of it. And it was used to actually return a baby lamb that wandered off from its mother. See, sheep are so freaky. that if a lamb actually has the scent of a human on it, the mother will reject the lamb. So skilled shepherds are able to go after the lamb and pick it up with the end of the staff and bring it back to its mother. God is able to scoop us up when we wander from our mother, the church, and put us back in a place where we'll be nurtured and nourished by the Spirit. Sometimes sheep would get caught in a thicket of briars and thorns, and the shepherd would use the staff to pull away the briars, pull away the thorns, and free the sheep. And God, as a shepherd, when we get entangled in sin, is always at work to free us from our trouble. Number 7. Turn to Jesus for protection in times of danger. Look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Sheep have to live through various seasons of life, just like we do. And some of the seasons of life involve traveling to different places. In the hot summer months, the shepherd needs to lead the sheep to higher ground where it's not as hot, where the land hasn't been overgrazed, where the snows have finally melted and there's fresh grass when other places are turning brown. Those places are called the tablelands. But before the shepherd leads the sheep to those places, there's all kinds of seeking and searching out of predators and other kinds of enemies that could harm and destroy the sheep. There's poisonous plants, weeds that come up. And those things have to be taken out, or a little lamb that ate just one of them could die. The shepherd has to check into caves and holes looking for snakes or other kind of predators. And the shepherd prepares a feast for his sheep in the very presence of their enemies. And God does that for us too. While our enemies look on. Have you ever had something happen in your presence and you're just mortified by it? That's what happens to our enemies. They have to watch while God prepares a place for us to feast. And they're mortified. Then it says, you anoint my head with oil. Summertime is also fly time. Now this is a little gross, but flies will actually go up into the noses of the sheep. And in the moist nasal passages, they'll lay eggs. Those eggs become little larvae, little worm-like things that go into the brains of sheep. And they cause sheep to go crazy. The irritation is so great that sheep have been known to actually kill themselves beating their heads against trees and rocks, trying to rid themselves of the irritation. But there's an oil that is like a fly repellent that good shepherds would put on the sheep and the faces and the noses of the sheep to keep those flies away. God, as a good shepherd, is aware of our enemies, aware of our predators, aware of those things that keep us from good health. And He's constantly at work anointing our head so that we would be protected. It's not our strength versus our enemies, but God going before us to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies that is our hope. And then lastly, you guys didn't think I was going to get finished, did you? 8, turn to Jesus for confidence in times of anticipation. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People, we don't know what our future holds. But we know that if we know Christ, we have a good shepherd who is a guardian and a shepherd of our souls. See, eventually the sheep learn to trust the voice of the shepherd. Eventually the sheep learn to trust the ways and methods and paths of the shepherd. And after traveling with a good shepherd, they begin to look forward to the future with happy anticipation. Notice that goodness and love are actually personalized like bodyguards. Wherever you go as a Lamb of God, goodness and love are your companions, taking you wherever you need to be. ministering angels sent on your behalf. Look at verse 5. My cup overflows. It's not man-centered effort and bootstraps theology that is the hope of the Christian. It is the super abounding grace of God that will lead us to living in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this sermon's a problem for me. Because frankly, I knew all this stuff before I preached it. My problem is not in my head, folks. I can memorize Psalm 23, I can recite 23, and I can tell you what it means. My problem is I have such a hard time believing it. I am a sheep that freaks. I am troubled by my insecurity. I am often laid low by my difficulties. And I am undone by my anxieties. And it is only as I truly begin to believe that the Lord is my shepherd and that I shall never lack any good thing that my life will begin to change. See, a Christ-centered life means that you depend more on God's love and grace than upon your own responsibility. That scares some of you for me to say that. But I'm going to say it again. A lot more in your life depends so much more on God's love than upon your effort and your responsibility. A lot more is restored by grace than is ruined by your sin, because God is your shepherd. And a lot more depends upon His kindness than upon your faithfulness. Lent is a time to reflect upon Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep. He knows our frame. He knows we're sheep. He knows sheep freak. And He is there, nonetheless, to shepherd us all the way home, where goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. I know you know that. But do you know that? Let's pray.